So then I started consulting, and I ended up in the sports nutrition company, and I really got excited about product development, but I didn't have the background for it. I was able to really look at it from a marketing standpoint, but not from the science and the creation standpoint. So I went back to school and started studying all of the stuff that no one wants to study, you know, your chemistry, your biochem, your orgo, stuff that, you know, is like the dread of medical students. And I'm like, this is awesome. So I would take everything I was learning in school into the lab and start hounding the research and development guys, and they hated me, absolutely hated me. But what it taught me was, you know, there really is an essential component to product development that I felt was missing, and that's how do we create sustainable products, healthy products, and you know, make sure that we're delivering the best to the end user.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got a great interview with a fitness and health professional today, but before we jump into that, we want to jump into telling you guys about our awesome website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. That's where you guys can find all the show notes for every episode, including today's, which you're definitely going to want to check out because that'll have all our links and pertinent information to the awesome guest that we have on today's episode. You know, also that will be on the website is our shop page.
Yes, and that includes all of the products that we recommend on Amazon. You can use the affiliate links there. Also, you can check out Stick Mobility.
That's right.
As well.
Yeah, Stick Mobility, the Hemp Coffee Exchange, all the products that help power us through our daily life. So you guys go ahead and check out, actually bookmark addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. Okay, we'd really appreciate that. All right, so this week's episode, we speak with someone who, honestly, I've been looking for someone to talk about supplements with on the podcast, a professional, you know, somebody who's an expert in that area.
We have been talking about that for a long time.
I know, because we talk about supplements a lot, how supplementation nowadays is almost a necessity.
Yeah, and it's a struggle, too, as far as there's so many different supplements now on the market. It feels like it's impossible to know which one is for you, because all of them are like, oh, this one's perfect for you. You're a woman. You should take this. You're a man who walks. You should do this. It's like, all right, all of these could be technically be me.
Yeah,
well, I know. Obviously, I'm not a man, but but yeah, and there's like there's all in one supplements that I'm seeing now, right, which make me super skeptical, just because I'm somewhat familiar as to how like your body doesn't absorb everything like that.
Yep.
It's not like a one shot to go. So yeah, this has been a long time coming.
Right.
I'm really excited you did this.
Exactly. And we're very fortunate to have on a guest, Evan DeMarco, who not only is a expert in supplementation, but he also has a background in consulting for Wall Street kind of companies. So not kind of company, companies on Wall Street. So he has a great approach to it because he knows how to really reach consumers. You know, that was kind of his background in consulting.
Got the sales and marketing side down well.
Exactly. So this is a person who not only has the information about, you know, the science of the supplements, but also has how to present it to consumers, which is what we really, I've been looking for. Because like you said, it's hard to find out, hard to know what you need, what supplements you need. So, all right, we're not going to dilly-dally and tell you all about him. We're going to let Evan tell you the story. So please enjoy this conversation with Evan DeMarco. My guest today is a published author, an armchair biochemist, and a sports nutrition entrepreneur. I'm very excited to welcome Evan DeMarco to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Thanks for joining me today, Evan.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
So I definitely want to get into sports nutrition and supplementation with you because I know that's really your area of expertise. But beforehand, I was doing my research for this episode and I was looking at your Instagram and I saw that you recently completed a Tough Mudder. Is that right?
Yes, I recently completed a Tough Mudder.
Was that your first one?
That was my first one, yeah.
Well, how did you go?
You know, it was great. I actually had a lot of fun. I will say this. I made the mistake of, it was in Tahoe, so we're at elevation, got there the night before and went out with the team, had one too many cocktails. So getting up and then running 13 miles or whatever the final thing was, doing all the obstacles with a bit of a hangover was probably the worst part about it. Uh-huh. But I will say this, nothing greater for a hangover than running 13 miles at altitude, trouncing through the mud, getting electrocuted. It was awesome. Yeah. I absolutely can't wait to do the next one.
What was your least favorite and favorite obstacle? If I could put you on the spot.
No, the least favorite... You hear about the electrocution piece. So I'm like, oh, that's not gonna, why would they do something that would hurt that bad? It freaking hurts. and I just kind of like started going through it. And then all of a sudden the first one hits you. You're like, ow.
Yeah.
So I get like two or three shocks. And then towards the end, one hit me right in the forehead. It was like, it jolted me. So I'd say that was the least favorite. I almost called it the American Ninja Warrior one. Yeah. I don't remember what the name was, but the monkey bars with that one I really liked. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, those were cool. I remember that. And then I did mine. It was probably about 3 or 4 years now. The ice bath was the toughest one. I don't know if you guys had one. Did you have an ice bath obstacle?
We did. What do they call that? The Arctic enema?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I did that and you had to go underwater. You had to fully submerge yourself. So I remember I jumped in. I was like, I'm just going to jump in and go. I jumped in and went underwater. And I blacked out. Like I didn't know where I was. So luckily I kind of came to, crawled myself out, and then I was just running. It was the best, it was like a shot of adrenaline because all I wanted to do was run for about the next 20 minutes because I was so cold. But obviously, we're not going to talk about Tough Mudder. I want to talk to you about supplementation, mainly since obviously you're an expert and your position in the company Omax. What is your title in that company?
CMO is my title, which really is kind of a multifaceted chief marketing as well as chief medical officer. So I do all of the product development for them. But then also really kind of one of the big things, and we can kind of discuss this when we get a little bit more into the supplement category, is bridging the gap in the consumer awareness about what a healthy supplement is and then creating supplements to fill in that gap. And so what we find a lot of times is there's a lot of stuff on the market that's really not essential to people's health and wellness journey. Or it is, and there's not an education component on why a consumer should be taking that particular product. So it really kind of gives me the best of both worlds of creating supplements that I feel through research, through science, through all of the education that I've had, really can have a profound impact in people's health and wellness journey. And then helping the marketing teams really kind of bridge that gap in the consumer understanding of why they need to add that to their supplement regimen.
And I'd love to go a little bit back a little further and talk about that history and experience with the sports nutrition and supplementation. When did this start becoming your life pursuit? Was there a specific event or anything that really inspired you to pursue, creating clean and effective supplements?
Yeah, that's a great question. I left kind of more of a corporate Wall Street career, after I realized that I hated that. I just don't like the three-piece suit. I'm not a tie guy. And it was something that I thought I wanted growing up, even though athletics, sports, just being healthy was always such a central focus of my life. Did that whole corporate thing. And I'm like, wow, this sucks. I don't want to do this. So then I started consulting and I ended up in the sports nutrition company. And I really got excited about product development, but I didn't have the background for it. I was able to really look at it from a marketing standpoint, but not from the science and the creation standpoint. So I went back to school and started studying all of the stuff that no one wants to study, your chemistry, your biochem, your orgo, stuff that, is like the dread of medical students. And I'm like, this is awesome. So I would take everything I was learning in school into the lab and start hounding the research and development guys. And they hated me, absolutely hated me. Yeah, I'd come in with all these questions. Can we do this? Can we do this? But what it taught me was, there really is an essential component to product development that I felt was missing. And that's how do we create sustainable products, healthy products, and make sure that we're delivering the best to the end user. And that was great. And I was having a blast doing that. And then all of a sudden I found out I was going to be a father. And I'm like, oh, okay, now let's look at prenatal vitamins. And prenatal vitamins, by and large, suck. They haven't changed since my mom was taking them. It's the same prenatal vitamin that she was taking 30 years ago that you can find at Target or Walmart or wherever you shop or vitamin shop now. And I really felt that there was an opportunity to take the whole prenatal market apart, put it back together, and find something that was going to be really impactful for my wife and for my daughter. And that led me down a path of really looking at what is necessary for health and wellness in vitro, in prenatal, in postpartum, breastfeeding. And then how do those scientific components change as we age? And how is it essential that we're getting all of this stuff in the first year of our life and then we stop taking it? So that kind of created a really interesting product matrix and ingredient technology that has been the cornerstone of a lot of the work I've done over the last couple of years, especially in prenatal.
That's awesome. And I know we were talking a little bit beforehand about how my wife and I have really dove into that too, because she was recently went through the pregnancy of our first child and trying to find out, you know, which nutrients are important for, like you said, I believe it's the fetal tube development or neural tube. Thank you. And then you're talking about you know, folate. Does it have enough folate? Is the other omega fatty acids, which I love, because that's going to transition into the supplement that you guys produce at one of the many supplements, I'm sure, is about the Omax cognitive boost, is that it really kind of I guess highlights the importance of omega fatty acids, correct?
Absolutely. And it's kind of funny as we look at, you know, polyunsaturated fatty acids, the omegas in prenatal, and it, you know, it's like that becomes the essential cornerstone of our prenatal vitamins. We've got to get these omegas. And then we take them, and then, you know, there's a couple, you know, postpartum lactation support products, and there's some infant nutrition. And then it's funny, like omegas have this giant gap in the consumer awareness where all of a sudden people stop taking them until they get old. And it becomes like this old person supplement. You've got Larry King on TV pitching his greenlit muscle omegas. And I don't, you know, I've never met the guy, so I can't say anything about him personally, but he's not the guy that you want pitching a supplement. That's not your paradigm of health. You know, the guy looks like, you know, a freshly exhumed corpse. But that's the market where we see the most impact for omegas. And there's this huge gap in the middle of our lives where all of these omega, you know, the polyunsaturated fatty acids have such a profound impact. And we really look at the modern Western diet and what that's done to our omega-6 and omega-3 ratios, and really how that's become a catalyst for general inflammation, which really is one of the catalysts for chronic disease.
That was definitely one I wanted to hit on. It was that, do you think people, and like I said, it's probably just a knowledge gap, is that I don't know if there's people believe that they're getting enough of those omega fatty acids from the food they're eating, or it's just maybe not publicized enough about the importance of it to preventing those chronic diseases that we are really kind of, as you know, especially in the United States, are really becoming more and more. It's occurring in a greater number with whether it be Alzheimer's, dementia, or then, you know, things like type 2 diabetes, the things that are caused by inflammation or exacerbated by inflammation. Do you think it's more just a knowledge gap of why people aren't really taking those supplements?
You know what I think it really boils down to is the pain pill versus the supplement. So when you're in your 20s, your 30s, we're really good at recovering. Our bodies have this natural ability to kind of fight inflammation to the point that we don't feel some of the systemic effects of our bad diet, our bad lifestyle choices. So, you know, if you're 30 years old and you've got some knee pain, your first thought is, I'm not going to go to an omega pill. I'm not going to go to some fish oil. I'm going to go take my aspirin or my Advil. And the reality is that when you have knee pain, if you take an omega, it's not going to go away right away. So you have to take it consistently. It has to be part of a lifestyle. And so the 20, 30, 40 year olds, they're used to going to the immediate impact type of product. I'm going to take the pain pill because I'm in pain. And then all of a sudden you get to your 50s and you're like, wow, you know, my cholesterol is high. I've got some atherosclerosis. You know, I've got some chronic pain. Now I recognize the value of these polyunsaturated fatty acids. So I think that's the big part of it, is just this kind of general sense of, I want to say, immortality that a lot of the 20, 30, 40 year olds feel. The other part of that is that there's a lot of misconception about how you get those. One of my best friends of 30 years, you know, knows I've been in this industry, knows, you know, my passion for fish oil. And we get into this conversation and I'm like, I'm going to get you some fish oil supplements. Like, no, I get all my stuff from chia and flax. Like, I'm like, okay, let's talk about the difference between EPA, DHA, DPA, and then ALA, which is your predominant vegetarian source of omegas. Mm-hmm. And what we recognize through the science, through the literature, is that ALA best case scenario, converts to some of these more anti-inflammatory or inflammation resolution omegas like EPA and DHA at roughly 10%. So it would take, you would have to eat buckets of chia seeds to get the same benefit as taking one simple fish oil pill. So part of the misconception and part of the issue is that there's been a lot of poor education in the market about where you need to get these sources of polyunsaturated fatty acids from.
No, I think that's a great point, and I'm glad you kind of touched on the different types of omega fatty acids, because that was one thing when we were looking at prenatal vitamins is finding something with the DHA. They really are kind of hammering the importance of DHA, but we knew that the three other ones that, as you just listed, EPA, ALA, and then I know it's not
DPA.
DPA, thank you. That we've got to get a comprehensive, prenatal vitamin. We can't just think that, obviously one component is important, but taking the more comprehensive approach is really what we need to have. Obviously, give our baby the best chance, So, and I think, and when you explain that, I'm sure expecting parents, they understand that it's just getting that in front of them on top of, going to all the prenatal visits and then buying the crib and painting the baby's room and all that stuff. So it's a lot. I know I recently experienced it and I know you experienced it. So it's a lot to try to manage. But it's super important, I think. And I don't know if it's getting the push as far as when you are pregnant that it should be.
No, and I think you hit the nail on the head there is there's so much going on in that time, right? I'm like, I remember I became like best friends with the sales guy at Bye Bye Baby. I was in there every week. It was like, I became an expert on strollers and how to unfold this stroller and which one was best for traveling and car seats and bottles. Like, I remember when I was young, you probably had one bottle, and I remember like my parents steaming it and, disinfecting it. It's like, you walk into Bye Bye Baby and there's a like 30-foot wall that I think is 15 feet, tall, full of bottles and nipples. I'm like, why are there this many choices? So, the whole process of pregnancy has become this onslaught of data. And it's not just from the healthy pregnancy side. It's from every part. It's like, are you getting the right crib? Do you have the right binkies? Do you know how to swallow properly? What parenting techniques are you going to use? Like I remember, studying for the MCATs would have been easier than going through the first element of pregnancy.
Right.
And so a lot of times what we do is we rely on our doctors to give us the proper information as far as, prenatals, as far as healthy diet, healthy nutrition. A lot of the blogs out there have been great as far as disseminating some information, but there's a lot of disinformation as well. So, really what we need to do is kind of take a very comprehensive approach to the education process in prenatal, because that really sets the stage, right? It's taking the proper omega fatty acids, getting the right sources of choline in your prenatal, really working around MTHFR mutations, which studies indicate can affect up to 45% of the global population. So that first 9 months, prenatal, and then working into postpartum and lactation and breastfeeding can set the stage for an entire life of health and wellness. And if we're not doing it properly, then the converse problem occurs is that it can set the stage for an entire life of disease and chronic problems. So, get out of the gate properly. And I think we can really see through some of the research that all of that work done properly on the front side can have a long-term positive impact.
Right. Now, we kind of hit on the diet because I wanted to ask you more about diet. Why is it possible? And we hit a little bit on somebody who's taken more of, I would say, a vegetarian or vegan approach to trying to get their omega fatty acids. But is it possible if you're more of an omnivore and you are maybe doing, I don't want to say paleo because I feel like that's been kind of somewhat bastardized a little bit, but you eat a comprehensive diet, you don't have any limitations except for you're trying to stay away from processed food or high or inflammatory foods. Is it possible to get the enough omega fatty acids in that type of diet?
Yes, it is. But I caution a couple of different things. And one of the things that's fun to look at is the evolution of the human's omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. And if we go back in time, 1,000 years or 500 years, what we're going to see is a pretty solid 1-to-1 ratio of omega-6 versus omega-3. Then you rewind like 100 years and you see that number jumps from like you know, 1:1 to 4:1, you know, more omega-6 than omega-3. And then you look at the modern Western diet now and what that's created, and we have this 20:1 to 25:1 ratio. Now, omega-6 is great as an omega product is concerned, but when you start to get that kind of ratio imbalance, those omega-6s become hyper pro-inflammatory. So some of the modern diets, and whether we want to talk about keto or paleo, as you said, that's become very bastardized. When we start taking in a lot of these foods that have a high omega-6 content, then we start really kind of creating the system of imbalance. And one of the ways that we can offset that is with a supplement. But then that kind of starts the conversation of which supplement do we take. And I really like to tell this story so people kind of get a context of how these fish oil supplements are made. Most of those fish are coming from like anchovies and sardines that are caught off the coast of like Chile and Peru. And from there, they're literally taken to a factory and they're just pressed. And what you have after that is like this fish meal, fish guts, you know, all of the stuff that's left over, which is sent off to like fertilizer factories, pet food factories used, you know, there's not a lot of excess byproduct in that. And then you have this fish oil. And this fish oil is predominantly referred to as 18-12 or crude oil. And that 18-12 is representative of the EPA and the DHA concentration in that for a total of about 30%. The remaining 70% of that oil are things like pro-inflammatory omega-6, cholesterol, saturated fat, all of the things that we want to consider bad fats. So if you go to Costco and you buy your three-year supply of omegas for $4, what's going to happen is you're going to have that cheaper 18-12 oil that's going to have a lot more omega-6 in there. So if you're already in kind of a pro-inflammatory state or an, you know, a ratio imbalance as a result of your diet, and you throw in a supplement that has more omega-6, you're actually kind of undoing a lot of the benefits that you could be getting from that particular fish oil. So what I always tell people is when you're looking at a good quality fish oil, it has to be concentrated up. You have to see something like a 70, 80% concentrate, even higher. And that's going to come at a cost, but you know, it's, I always look at it as, you know, do you want to pay the money now or do you want to pay it later? The bill is always going to come at the end. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take advantage of the benefits of a quality supplement now versus having to deal with the health ramifications of that kind of diet imbalance later on.
Yeah, that's a great point because I don't have the stats in front of me, but I've noted I've talked about it with other people and I've heard on other podcasts about how our healthcare is becoming almost like our greatest enemies now. The healthcare costs that we're incurring in this country is costing us more than other type of major issues that we're having in this country. It's like public enemy number one almost. You know, yeah. As far as government spending, we're spending so much on healthcare because of those things we've talked about, the chronic issues that can be created by the diet or a poor lifestyle. So it's like you said, you get what you pay for. If you pay for something cheap, you're going to get, you're not going to get the benefits unless you pay for something more, that's a quality product. So I'm glad you mentioned that now because there was another, that is, I think we were kind of talking about the fish oil, and that's considered the Omax Cognitive Boost. Is that what that supplement would be falling under?
You know, the straight fish oil is the Omax Ultra Pure Inflammation Support, which is a really unique ratio of EPA and DHA based off of a lot of existing research, based off of a clinical study that was done by a group of Yale scientists. So that's a pretty cool product. Now, when we talk about the cognitive support, that's actually a fusion product, which is systemic from the prenatal vitamins that I created. And as I got into the prenatal category, one of the things that I really recognized, part of that came from a European Food Safety Agency report on the benefits of choline in prenatal vitamins, and specifically alpha GPC or alpha glycerol phosphorylcholine, which is the predominant choline source found in breast milk. And when we look at breastfeeding and we look at all of the benefits that come from breastfeeding, specifically as it pertains to brain growth within that first 6 to 12 months, I kind of had this weird moment. I'm like, well, if this is what our bodies really demand in that first 12 months for accelerated brain growth, and then we stop taking that, why is that? Is there something on the other side of the equal sign? And the reality is that our diets are – supplement protocols are basically our lifestyles are not conducive to that same level of brain growth after we stop breastfeeding. So my thought was, well, what happens if we keep taking those key nutrients in those specific ratios as we move through all of the stages of our life? And what we find is that as we get older, as our brains start to slow down, as neurotransmission declines, as cognitive decline starts to increase, we're finding less polyunsaturated fatty acids in the brain and less acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter that kind of keeps your brain firing super duper fast. I'm like, well, this is great as a prenatal. Why don't I start making this into a supplement that I would take? And so I started taking it. I'm like, wow, I feel on point. It was kind of like that limitless pill from that Bradley Cooper movie. I'm like, this is awesome. So started giving it to some friends and we started doing some research on it. And by and large, we found like, this is an incredible cognition product.
Nice. That's something I've heard a lot in the last couple of years is cognitive boosters, about how they're becoming more and more, popular is the word, is that you hear that as a supplement now. So I'm sure there's people jumping on the bandwagon trying to release a cognitive booster now. But it's saying if you got to have the right formulations, which, you know, obviously the Omax is Alpha Omega Cognitive Boost. Is that the name of the supplement?
That's it. Yes.
Great. And then because we've already touched on it, I know it affects my wife's family, is things like Alzheimer's and dementia, and how insidious those conditions are. And that's from a person that doesn't even suffer, not directly suffers it, but is a byproduct of a family member or a friend suffering from it. And when you see somebody go through that, you're just you wish you took the proper steps beforehand they took the proper steps to try to reduce the likelihood of those things happening. So that, and just another support of or another piece of evidence that supports the idea of proper supplementation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you just talked a little bit about it prior to is the mounting healthcare costs. But one of the things that we never really focus on are the human costs associated with diseases like Alzheimer's, dementia. What does that mean to the family? And whether we quantify that in lost work or lost time, you know, productivity because we're having to care for a family member, or just the emotional toll that takes on someone, you know, there are steps that we can take early on in life to ensure that some of those things don't materialize. Now, if you've got if you're predisposed to that because of genetic conditions, you know, there's only so many things that just a supplement can do.
Right.
But that's just one pillar. You know, that's one part of the equation. And if you're kind of going down this road of a healthy, active lifestyle, there are a lot of things and benefits that can come in preventing those kind of cognitive decline issues that have such a terrible toll on us.
Right. And I think that speaks to another topic I don't want to go too far into, because I have another thing I want to ask you, is the idea of being more involved in your own health. I actually went and got my annual physical today. It's been 2 years running that I've actually got two physicals in, you know, a year apart, and which is big for me, because like we kind of talked about earlier, is, you know, when you're younger, you feel like, hey, I don't need to go get a physical, or, you know, there's no need. I feel great. Right. But now, you know, my family has predisposition to high cholesterol and heart disease. So it's important for me to go. You know, I'm only 34 going on 35, but it's still, I want to have that knowledge so I can take the proper steps to, you know, live that long life, hit that 3-digit, you know, age mark. That's, you know, I admit it now, it's important to me. I'd love to hit that number. But you got to take the proper steps beforehand in order to get there. And I think podcasts and people like yourself getting out there and sharing information is hopefully inspiring people to be more involved in their own health. So that's another reason why I'm glad you're here with it to here with us today talking. So to little bit of a change gears is, you talked about the active lifestyle, and specifically when we talk about brain health, I know it's a huge issue with pro athletes. Now, I don't know if, you know, just doing a little bit of research on the Omega company, are you guys working with any specific athletes or, you know, specific sports to see the effect of the cognitive boost with them?
Yeah, we have been doing a lot with professional athletes, and we look at the combination of those two key ingredients, and they've really been utilized for the benefit of brain health and pro athletes. In fact, one of the people that sits on our advisory board is Dr. Joe Maroon, who's the neurologist for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So has become very, very involved in the conversations about concussion and traumatic brain injury and what we can do from a diet, lifestyle, supplementation standpoint to offset that. The reality is if you're playing professional football, you go put on a helmet and you get knocked around by a 300 pound angry guy, something's going to happen upstairs. You know, there's going to be some type of brain injury. So I think, you know, that recent movie that came out, Concussion, with Will Smith, the conversations that we're having about concussion protocols in pro sports, all of this opens the door for us to have a real candid discussion about what do we need to do to try to prevent that or to help people who have gone through that. So we look at things like polyunsaturated fatty acids, alpha GPC, you know, some of the other, the phosphatidylcholines, the phospholipids that seem to have a profound impact in brain and neurological health. It really opens up a conversation about what do we need to be doing. And granted, there's not a lot of research in this yet, but I think that we're going to start to see some of the longstanding ideas, theories start to emerge in the form of clinical research that we can apply to things like, you know, are kids playing soccer? That's a perfect, you know, little kids playing soccer. Now, I guess they're no longer allowed to head the ball because of the risk of traumatic brain injury.
Right.
So there's just, you know, I look at it from the professional sports side, but I also look at it from the parent side is what can I do to protect my kid to make sure that, you know, something as simple as like heading a soccer ball doesn't leave a lasting impact in her life.
Right. No, yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth because I was wondering, it transfers. Obviously, we're talking about the effect on some pro athletes because they see probably the most damage as far as kind of like repetitions and how many times they're involved in the play. But like you said, it kind of trickles down to youth sports and the idea of trying to address the problem either by adjusting the rules or start adding supplementation at a younger age may be, you know, a benefit. So, and it's a work in progress, which is good though, because the fact that, you know, we're actually doing the work to see if we can reduce these issues is, it's a good sign. You know, it's another part of why, you know, we need to be a little bit more invested in our health than just going to see the doctor, you know, every so often when something hurts. So, now there was another kind of thing, and I don't want to jump the gun, but there is something we've talked about beforehand was a CBD supplement that you guys recently released. Was that, obviously I know CBD is something I'm super interested in. What is that specifically addressed? Because I've heard it talking about pain management. I've heard it talking about, you know, obviously mood boosters, the non-psychoactive, of course. But I was interested to know more about what your CBD supplement provides.
Great question. And I think, you know, you definitely touched on one of the big issues with the CBD movement right now is what is it good for? Mm-hmm. Now, we can talk about the endocannabinoid system and the CB1 receptors and the CB2 receptors and get deep into the scientific hole, but usually that's where people's eyes start to glaze over. So one of the things that I talk about is you've got this endocannabinoid system, the ECS, which is this peripheral system in your body that really seems to have an impact on a lot of different functions. There's mood, there's appetite control, there's sexual pleasure is one of the things that we look at from this. And then when you work into the body, you've got pain modulation, inflammation support, things like that. Because this ECS seems to have kind of its hands in a lot of the different, or its fingers in a lot of different pies in our body, so to speak, it's become this catch-all. So people are like, oh, I take CBD for glaucoma, for, you know, impotence, or I want my hair to grow back. You know, some of the stuff is valid, some of it's not valid. And part of what we're hoping to accomplish is that education piece. What is it good for? How do we utilize CBD to really have a positive impact in our health and wellness journey? The product that just launched with Omax is called Stress Remedy. And this particular product is a fusion. It's a concentration of omegas, polyunsaturated fatty acids, with CBD, with theanine. And so one of the things that I really focus on, this was part of a book that I just published a couple months ago, is this pace of life that we all run at. It's not the same as it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're so jacked in all the time. You know, we wake up and the first thing we do is check our phone. You know, what email did I miss from my boss? What party did I miss that was on Facebook last night? What are my friends doing? There's this, we're just not giving ourselves the proper time in the morning to ease into our day. So we start off the day with this heightened sense of anxiety. You know, we go through the traffic jams and then we get to the office and the boss and the deadlines. Then we go home and we've got the kids to deal with and you know, spousal relations and all of that. And so we just don't exist in a world that allows us the time to breathe. So what I wanted to do was really create a product that kind of, I can't change people's lifestyle, but what I can do is change through the science, the body's reaction to a lot of those stresses. And so this fusion of these three products were really designed to kind of eliminate some of those white noises in our day, allow you to focus, allow you to concentrate, and allow you to be centered a lot more. And so what we're finding is through these supplements, through this particular stress remedy supplement, is we're seeing, you know, lower C-reactive protein levels, lower homocysteine levels, lower incidences of inflammatory response. And so that kind of permeates throughout your entire life, where you have better pain modulation, better stress response, basically just a better sense of well-being. People are sleeping better. And with that sleep comes the ability to tackle the next day with a little bit more sense of calm and relaxation without getting those, you know, endorphins and those, you know, inflammatory markers up through the roof again. So that's really the starting point of this one. And then I think we're going to start to see some evolution within the product set on how do we look at CBD or phytocannabinoids for multiple indications.
Wow. That sounds awesome, because a lot of the things you described about waking up and having to hit the ground running is something that, you know, I know both me and my wife are kind of victim of, you know, to a certain extent. So I love both the ideas of, you know, not only the cognitive booster supplement, but also the CBD supplement. So I could see myself definitely purchasing or, you know, trying out some of your guys' products, because both of those, brain health and, of course, the reducing stress to help get better recovery when I do need to rest, or trying to reduce cortisol or stress levels, is huge. I know how beneficial that can be to overall health. So both products I'm super interested in. And if anybody else is interested, I want to give you the time to please let them know how they can get a hold of it and find out more information about Omax.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, a couple different websites is omaxhealth.com, where you're going to see the, you know, you're going to see the alpha and omega cognitive boost, some of the polyunsaturated fatty acid products that we talk about. There's a great one. And I think one of the things that we kind of missed on in our conversation, especially since you guys have such a big following of health and wellness enthusiasts, is what are some of the issues that plague people in the gym early on that we're not even recognizing now? Sarcopenia is one that I'm pretty passionate about, or age-related muscle protein breakdown. You know, in theory, this was something that hit in your, like, your 40s, your 50s, but now we're recognizing is our body's ability to synthesize amino acids for the purposes of protein metabolism starts to diminish as early as our late 20s, early 30s. There was a really cool clinical study that was done out of Europe called the DOM study, delayed onset muscle soreness. And what we found is that by supplementing with polyunsaturated fatty acids, you know, EPA and DHA, in conjunction with branched chain amino acids, we can actually improve muscle protein synthesis. So as we talk about getting in the gym, getting our workouts in, really going for that gusto, making sure that we're, you know, checking off those boxes of things that we need to do to be, you know, healthy, proper recovery is a huge component of that. And one of the best ways to do that is with, you know, with polyunsaturated fatty acids, specifically omega. So on that website, Omax Health, there's a Max Recovery product, which is fantastic for anyone who's interested in you know, boosting their gains in the gym. And then omaxcbd.com is a great product. That's the CBD one we were talking about. So you can definitely learn a little bit more about CBD, how it could benefit your life and your health and wellness journey.
Well, that's awesome. And honestly, I think we have much more we could talk about. So I'm going to ask you now, if hopefully in the future, if you guys have another supplement, or obviously we could just talk more about the current supplements you guys have, if you'd be willing to come back on with me.
Absolutely. Would love to. And I'll definitely, we'll connect afterwards, obviously, and I'll get your information, send you out some of the samples so you can try it and let us know what you think.
Perfect. Yes. And we will definitely talk about it on the podcast. I'll be a little guinea pig. I have no problem doing that. So Evan, thank you so much for joining me today. And once again, please connect with Evan and Omax Health guys. And I know he'll be back soon, and I'll talk to you again, Evan.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Evan DeMarco. The guy is super passionate about what he does and very knowledgeable about what he does. And you guys heard when we first started the podcast that he actually went back to school to learn all the science behind the supplementation that now he, you know, he promotes and is a champion of, which I like. I like the idea of kind of pursuing a passion, you know, to I feel we have that in common, you know,
yeah,
second
definitely.
Career, essentially our passion career. And I like the aspect that he actually did the due diligence and went back to school and really learned all the science behind proper nutrition and supplementation.
Little, like, you know, little light education to, like, organic chemistry.
Oh, my gosh.
God. I remember in college, like, my roommates had to take organic chemistry. Just, like, one class, I think, or something. And it sounded horrible.
I'm going to admit to something right now.
I was really good at chemistry, though. I wonder if I would have liked it.
I loved chemistry. But I will admit to something right now. I chose my major in college because I did not want to take organic chemistry. I'll tell you that right now. The truth comes out, folks. I heard stories.
It does have a terrible reputation.
Yes, and I mean, I took other chemistries. I take analytical chemistry, and I took environmental chemistry.
Hardcore, yeah.
And stuff, but I heard so many bad things about organic chemistry. I don't know if it was, maybe it was the teacher at that, but maybe. Anyways... yes. So obviously Evan didn't take that route.
Kudos to Evan exactly. Because he did not go silently into that night.
Right. Now, and looking back, I think I wish I would have, because now I love the idea of supplementation.
Now
I
realize you can just go to Evan.
Nah, exactly. Like, now we have Evan as a resource. So now I can just use him anyways. But, as you guys heard, something that we've talked about on the podcast multiple times, that's a big thing for us is, he got inspired kind of with the supplementation also, not only, you know, wanting to go back to school, but because his wife got pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
And he was taking a look at prenatal vitamins that are available, and he saw how...
crappy.
Exactly. Thank you for the fill in the blank. so he wanted to step up the game. He wanted to take a better look at what was available and make improvements to it. So, and that's something that... we've talked about multiple times. There's, you know, past episode, you guys can go search in our archives about, you know, not only prenatals, our prenatal period with Ella, excuse me, I have Evan and Ella on the brain, sorry, but with Ella, and then our postpartum period with Ella. So, that's a big thing with prenatal vitamins, how important, because, I mean, pregnant mothers really need supplementation, because nowadays with a lot of the situation with supplementation is that our diets don't really provide all the wide spectrum of nutrients and vitamins that we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's folate. That's one of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Iron's a really big one. And then also like calcium and things like that. So
yeah. And then also with another topic we talked about in the interview was the choline, is that how important that is. And we got into the topic of brain health, which is something we've talked about on the podcast again, how we talk about ad nauseum because how important it is. And, you know, somebody, you know, obviously in your family, we've dealt with Alzheimer's and things like that, but it's like, it's something that is frightening. I mean, don't want to try to sugarcoat it. It is frightening to think about. And talking about, and I'm glad we got into the conversation about fish oil and how beneficial it can be, and the omega fatty acids. And because I'm always surprised. I think it's because I love this stuff. I love seeing this information, and I look for it, but not everybody, the majority of people don't know about this.
No, I mean, I think most people are like, oh, I had a piece of fish this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
But yeah, and they don't even know why. They don't know what the omega, they don't know which omega fatty acid they need, which they need more of.
I mean, he says the average American index is around 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And that you kind of need to be up near like an 8.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Right, so it's something, especially with the supplements they provide. Omax, the company Omax that Evan works for, and does consulting for and marketing for. They produce a product that is, you know, obviously not only is high quality, but is with somebody like with Evan behind it, has the information to show you and to explain why it's beneficial to you. So,
we call that in the PR world thought leadership.
There we go.
If anybody's curious.
Evan is a thought leader.
He is a thought leader.
And
you need to have credentials to be a thought leader. So.
Exactly. And we're hoping we're getting to the thought leader. I mean, I'd like to, not to toot our own horn.
I think we're like the armchair experts of thought leaders.
That is so funny you use that word, because that's what Evan calls himself. an armchair biochemist. So now we're getting up to we're armchair thought leaders.
Yeah, we're armchair like wellness thought leaders.
There you go. Boom. So
health fitness.
You guys, if you guys enjoyed this episode with Evan, please let us know about it by giving us a rating review in iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, and also let Evan and his and the company he works for, Omax, know that you heard about it on the Addicted to Fitness podcast. You guys, all his contact information will be on our show notes, which is at addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. I always want to run through that too fast, but addictedtofitnesspodcast.com on the show notes. And the handles, Evan is on social media. Obviously, Evan DeMarco, you can find him on Facebook. Also on LinkedIn, which is kind of a more of a professional Facebook, you think?
It's a professional networking social media platform.
That's why I have you here. Give me information like that. But also Omax, guys. Omax, let me give you I'm going to double check. Omaxhealth.com. The letter O, Max, MAX.com. You guys can learn more about the products that we talked about.
Omaxhealth.com.
Omaxhealth.com. Thank you. That's why I have a co-host.
Add a health after that Omax.
All right. Well, that was another great interview episode. We got a couple more in the hopper for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy them. The hopper. Yeah.
I feel like I'm in Congress.
Congress.
The hopper.
Is that what they call
it? That's what Congress? You put. That's what you put the bills in.
Yes, you're right.
The hopper.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I said you're right. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I learned that on Legally Blonde. It's got to be true.
All right. Well, any more Legally Blonde information for
them? Armchair expert, anyone?
No. You got anything else for him this week?
I'm done.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, at the ATF Podcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.